You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. This morning, we're asking you to take a trip down memory lane. Think about your very first concert. Oh, the memories. We're asking today, what was your first concert? Who did you go to see? What was it like? And have your tastes changed a bit? I still like Prince.
You went to Prince?
No, I did, yes. Yeah, and it was a great, he's an extraordinary performer. Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
Take a date? Take a date?
Yeah, my mom. It was my mom, Mary Udoji, and me. Anyhow, we want to hear your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
First concerts, and do you like live music better than recorded music? Certainly the revolution in the recording industry has made a counter-revolution in live performance. Ray Morrissey there in London, what was the price of a ticket at your very first concert, I guess, 35 years ago?
Well, yeah, the first prices were like 75p and £1, which is, what's that, a dollar and a half maybe?
So your first concert was what, Ray?
£1 and the bands were Mott the Hoople, supported by an unknown band called Queen.
Oh my God!
Whatever happened to them?
And you saw that for a dollar and a half?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 1973.
Man, well, let me tell you a little bit about Ray Morrissey, our guest. He's a rock fan, but in fact, he's Britain's most prolific, as far as we know, concert goer. In 35 years, Ray Morrissey has been to more than how many gigs?
5,105.
5,105. And every single one of them, the critique, the review, whatever you want to call it, is in a series of little notebooks, which are now on his website. What's your website, Ray?
That's it, raysgigs.com.
Raysgigs.com. And every single one of them. Now, why did you start doing this? And 5,000 gigs, that's an enormous archive of recorded music history.
Well, it's strange, really. When I was just sort of a 14-year-old in 1973... I just kind of kept notes on stuff, and I always kept a diary, which helped. And then when I thought about this website, I thought, well, the information's there. It just takes a bit of a while to get up there because it's 100,000 words now.
So when you saw Freddie Mercury back in 1973 at this Mott the Hoople concert where Queen opened.
That's right.
I mean, did you think he was going to be as huge as he turned out to be?
Well, not really, because as a 14-year-old, he had quite a scary face to me because he had that kind of big mouth and teeth. And I always thought, you know, you can't be a big successful rock star with a sort of, you know, that kind of face, really.
Well, I suspect, Ray, that one of the stories in your 5,150 or so reviews of all the concerts you've seen is this narrative of things that you thought were going to be great that turned out not to be, and things that you had no idea would be big that turned out to be huge. What was something you predicted was going to be the next big thing that never made it?
God, oh, there's loads of little bands like that. Bands like The Godfathers. Do you remember The Alarm?
Nope.
In the 80s?
Nope.
Right. Well, you know, they were kind of like the Welsh U2, really. And they came out at the same time as U2. And you would have thought they'd be as big as U2 now, but they're not, you know.
Now, there were some musicians in your school that started a band. Tell this story.
Well, yeah, this is when I was a youngster, a couple of guys were 3 years older, and they had formed a band, and they were playing down the West End. So we thought, well, if they're good enough to play down the West End, that was a big deal, you know. In the center of town, and they were called the Sex Pistols.
They did all right.
You know, before punk rock even kicked off, we thought, well, we've got to go and check them out, you know. And true enough, it was the Sex Pistols that we, but at the time, you know, you didn't know that they were going to be massive, you know, no way.
And Ray, you actually have a top 10. List the top 10 live bands. You have Sex Pistols number one, and number 10 is Van Halen. You want to tell us about who's in between and what makes them so great in concert?
Well, they've got the combination, really, as a live concert goer. You know, they've got the one, they've got to have good songs anyway, and two, they're great show people. You know, they put on a, you know, there's plenty of energy jumping around. I mean, my favorite, you know, American band, The Kiss, you know, you either love them or hate them, you know, it seems with Kiss. But, you know, Kiss put on this full show, loads of great songs from the 70s.
A lot of rock and a lot of metal here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, AC/DC as well, you know, that's going to be a highlight. I think they're in America now, but they're in Europe next year, so that's another highlight.
What year was your first rave, Ray, or your first sort of trip to the mosh pit?
To the mosh pit? Well, punk rock stuff, yeah. I mean, with prog rock, there wasn't really much jumping around, but when punk rock kicked off in 76 and 77, every show was down the front, getting sweaty, falling on the floor, getting picked up, and having a, you know, wringing the sweat out of your T-shirt at the end of the night.
Man, well, we can't go without you describing what it was like to be at Wembley in 1985 at that Live Aid concert, where by that time Freddie Mercury was huge,
and he was
just one of many.
Well, that was probably the greatest live day of music ever, really. You know, that was the first big kind of charity show. They had everybody. There's half a dozen bands that could play Wembley on their own. There, Paul McCartney, U2, Queen, and Queen kind of stole the show a bit, you know. But it's like 11 hours of the best music out there, you know.
Now, did you see U2 there as well?
Yeah, U2 were there. Yeah, Bono was, got the girl out of the audience and stuff. And
well, Ray, how high do you think you can go? You're over 5,000 now.
Right, well, that was kind of an ambition. I'm 50 years old next year.
Congratulations.
And it's getting harder as you're getting older. It does get harder, but a lot of it, if you live in the right area, you know, like New York, if you've got quality music around you, you've got a tendency to go out more, you know. And I live in London, and, you know, everybody comes through London, really.
Ray, do you work in the music business?
No, that's it. No, I used to, in the 80s, I had a job at Hammersmith Odeon on security, front stage security.
Love it.
So that was quite good, because I'd get paid for seeing the bands then.
What's your website again, Ray?
RaysGigs.com, RaysGigs, all as one word, .com.
The most prolific gigger in Britain and perhaps the most prolific concert goer of all time, Ray Morrissey, joined us from Bush House, London. His website contains all of the reviews, or most of the reviews, or thousands of reviews of concerts he's been to. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yes. I say yes. Yes concert. That was one of my first. We wouldn't call them metal. We'd call them fusion. Is that what we call them, Jay? Yeah, well, it's not a headline. Femi Okay has those, and she does.
Sade, the Birmingham Odeon back in the 1980s.
That was yours?
That was mine.
Sade, oh, nice.
She's beautiful. Nice. She looks exactly the same now.
Troubled soul, though.
Yes.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.